Welcome to the Data Points podcast, created by the Bloomberg Center for Government Excellence at Johns Hopkins University. We explore the ways the public sector is using data to understand complex issues, engage residents, and ultimately improve the quality of life, particularly for underserved communities. My name is Latricia Boone, and I am Senior Director of Strategy and Partnerships. In this role, I lead a team focused on cultivating and strengthening mission-aligned strategic partnerships that enable access to GovX's research and analytical capabilities, coaching and technical assistance, and best-in-class programs, where we support public sector leaders in using data to improve lives and experiences for residents in their community. Today, we're sitting down with one of our key partners, the Bloomberg Center for Cities at Harvard University, to take a deeper look at one of its signature programs, the Bloomberg Harvard City Leadership Initiative, and particularly the Data Track, which is led in collaboration with our team here at GovX. We are joined today by Program Director Sari Ladine Cien. Sari, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's great to be here, and I'm excited to talk about what I think is data's sneaky superpower, bringing people together.
I have to say, I am so excited. You and I have had an opportunity to work together for, close to a year now. And I think the work that we've been able to do through this program for me has been impactful. I've learned so much from you. And so this conversation, I'm hoping that we get a chance to share some of those jewels with our audience today. But I want to get us started by having you just share a little bit about Sari, your background, and maybe a little bit about what brought you to this work.
Sure. Well, likewise, I've learned so much from you, Latricia, and I'm excited to share that with the world. So I got started in this work right out of college, really. I think of myself as someone who is sort of a scavenger. Like, I really enjoy bringing different assets together and seeing their potential, making the most of them, both people and assets like data. And when I graduated undergrad, there was a big swirl around the beginnings of open data and the potential that that has on increasing trust in government, reducing bias in how services are delivered. And I was really excited about all of that happening at the federal level. And I started out my career working in state government, shout out to the Commonwealth, Massachusetts, and spent a few years there learning what it's like to actually be on the data collection side. I was very excited about sharing our data with the world and was a little discouraged by how difficult that was at the time. We didn't have an open data platform. We didn't have an easy way of making data accessible. I then went to graduate school to be able to push for that more and enter more leadership roles where I can make that change and shift to sharing data in a more proactive, machine-readable, accessible format. So I spent a few years out in Berkeley, California, and then was so lucky to be able to get to work with Steve Goldsmith, who hired me to essentially study the landscape, the emerging landscape of city data teams, particularly in Southern California. So I got to go right back down to SoCal and started out my career in local government officially in the city of Los Angeles, which is my soul city. And I had just the best time there over 4 years, gradually taking on more responsibility and being honored to be appointed by Mayor Garcetti at the time to be the chief data officer, really building out what I think was years and years in the making of kind of making data speak to people. So I'll stop there.
Yeah, thank you for that. I think what you just walked through is also just a beautiful picture of what the trajectory into a role like this could look like, which could be helpful. But also, I'm thinking about you worked for the city of Los Angeles, a pretty big city, obviously well known, and you served as chief data officer. Can maybe you share a little bit about some of the things from that role that you've been able to bring into the role that you are in today? And we'll get a little bit more into what it looks like to be the director of this program. But I'd love to understand, or for our audience, understand what maybe, you know, some top things from that role that you feel like have allowed you to really bring value to the job that you're doing today.
Sure. So I'm excited to share a little bit about my time as CDO. I think that the role of a chief data officer varies dramatically from place to place. And my mandate was really to make the most, initially, make the most of our investments in open data. So we, at the time when I started with the city in 2016, we had just launched the GeoHub, which was the first of its kind geospatial open data platform. The reason it's different is because it sits in a way, everything can be piled on top of a map, as opposed to a traditional open data platform, which can certainly have latitude and longitude columns, but the data can't be easily mapped and then analyzed. And so the GeoHub was the first platform that really allowed you to do spatial analytics easily. And what we realized early on was that our city users, so staff within the city, were not aware of this platform. With a city with 60,000 staff, there's a lot going on and lots of great innovations happening across the organization. Of course, not everyone can know what's happening. And so what we started doing, what I was tasked with, was hosting kind of education workshops on how to use the GeoHub. And the first one I did, I remember, was in July 2016 at the Public Library in LA, beautiful building. And people were kind of walking in and seemed a little meek and shy. And I realized that all these data stewards, who are people that oversee their own data systems for their departments, had never met each other from different departments. And so that was a really big epiphany for me, that without this convening to discuss how data can be used across the city, these individuals wouldn't have had the opportunity really to meet each other. And so I realized the power of my role is really bringing people together and making sure that individuals who have, I think, sometimes the thankless job of collecting data and making it available to those who request it, really lifting up their voices and making sure that they knew each other, so that when there is a cross-departmental priority, mayor's priority, or something that has come up in city council that requires a quick turnaround, they can actually call each other up and make sure that the housing data set that we need speaks to the building inspection data, speaks to the data coming out of the climate work we're doing, and that there is more investment in being able to build those ties across departments so that we can respond to things quickly and effectively. And so one of my, I think, achievements, things that I remember very fondly, was setting up the Citywide Data Collaborative, which was a group of over 40 data stewards from across the city who met quarterly and developed a citywide strategic plan. The meetings allowed them to actually celebrate their successes as data stewards and showcase both what challenges they're facing in their roles as well as wonderful things that they're doing. And I think some of these allowed us to also invest more deeply in two other groups, I think, that really need to be brought into the fold. So beyond data stewards, what I was able to work on during my time was investment in the community. So open data really is designed to open up the city's kind of files to the public. And what I was able to do alongside the Department of Neighborhood Empowerment was to develop the data literacy program for the city of Los Angeles. So this included trainings across 15 council districts for residents in English and Spanish, and it became a signature program for the Office of Civic Engagement. We designed this program to really incentivize neighborhoods to come together and make requests using data so that their voices could be elevated more and there could be facts kind of behind what they're requesting. So we noticed that actually neighborhood councils often make requests but don't use maps or data to back them up. And so we were trying to make that possible. And then the third group that I wanted to mention that I think again, bringing people together, I was able to kind of bring into the fold was university partnerships. So that includes both bringing in students and university researchers. So I launched the first data-focused internship program for students interested in civic applications of data. And then at the time I left the city in 2020, two graduates of that program were working full-time in the city. So that was a huge achievement for us. And then we also brought in university partners as well as data science companies to really take advantage of the assets that we have. So one example of that is that we launched, I believe it was the first machine learning competition at the time in 2019. In partnership with Kaggle, and that was designed to help us really look at the future of work and analyze existing job descriptions and tag them for different biases so that we could bring in a more diverse workforce. The reason being that Los Angeles continues to face, but at the time, even pre-pandemic, faced a really big hiring challenge. So one third of the 50,000 workers in LA were eligible to retire by July of 2020. And so we partnered with Kaggle to help us to create this competition. It had a $15,000 reward for whomever won the competition based on this criteria that we created with the iTeam, actually, that Amanda Daflos led. And the goal of that was to improve the job bulletins that we have so that we can fill those positions more quickly and effectively.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing just, I think, so many insights that came from the work that you were doing in Los Angeles and LA that really have been brought to what we're working on together through the program. And you hit on something that I think we're going to get into shortly, but it's around what we are often talking about as a part of our program, and that's collaboration and helping to increase more coordination among city teams, city offices, departments, because it really does allow us to have greater impact and I think lead to the resident impact that we are looking to do in this work ultimately. I'd love for you now to talk a little bit about the Bloomberg Harvard City Leadership Initiative so that our audience can understand what this is and maybe dig a little bit more into the data track where we get a chance to collaborate our teams to support cities in deeper ways around their data aspects of this work.
So before I talk about the initiative and go into the data track, I want to make sure our listeners understand that the initiative is nested within the Bloomberg Center for Cities, which was built after the initiative. We were so lucky to receive funding from the Bloomberg Philanthropies and from support across Harvard University to create this center that focuses on improving the lives of residents in cities through university research, fellowships, and leadership programs. So the Bloomberg Harvard City Leadership Initiative is within this university-wide Center for Cities. The Center for Cities was founded in 2021. And while the center is physically housed at the Harvard Kennedy School, it's university-wide. And what I mean by that is that it draws on expertise from across the university. And that's really exciting. There are only a few other centers that do this. And as of March 2024, we have 52 faculty affiliated with our center from 9 different schools, just to give you kind of the sense of how many different researchers are working on cities within their own disciplines. And kind of like the Citywide Data Collaborative, the Center for Cities is a great way to bring those voices together and create first of their kind of collaborations across research and innovative opportunities. And so we, as a center, regularly publish new resources like case studies, research papers, teaching tools, and action insights that highlight how research findings can be leveraged by city leaders. So you should check us out on our website. It is cities.harvard.edu. And you can also find us on LinkedIn, X, and Instagram. So now I'm excited to share a little bit about the initiative itself. And the initiative started with this tale that we tell everybody. So So Bloomberg Philanthropies approached Harvard with a deep interest in addressing the lack of leadership and management training in the public sector, specifically the lack of relevant training for mayors and senior staff. And many of us know that there is a vast number of different training programs for CEOs in the private sector and ways for them to kind of plug into pathways to improve their own management and leadership. But we really, there really wasn't something like that in the public sector. And so Harvard responded to this request and this call for an exciting challenge. And a small but mighty team of faculty, staff, students at the Kennedy School and also at the Harvard Business School took on this challenge and developed the Bloomberg Harvard City Leadership Initiative in 2016. And in 2017, we launched our first class, and we focus on supporting city leaders through state-of-the-art executive education programs. We also train future leaders. We run a variety of student opportunities, including summer fellowships for students who are currently graduate students or recent graduates, as well as a two-year opportunity to be a City Hall Fellow inside a city. And we also focus on advancing the field of research on city leadership and related concepts. And finally, we create relevant curriculum. So Harvard is known for using the case method to teach, which is teaching through the eyes of a protagonist, really stepping into the shoes of someone else. The cases usually end on a fork in the road kind of moment. And then it's up to you, the participant in the classroom, to really think about what would I do if I was this mayor and how would I handle this? And what's so exciting is we've created several cases around mayors and senior leaders and city managers. And so it allows the city leaders who come to our classroom to really feel seen and to be able to tackle problems that they will probably tackle or have tackled in their own context, but in the safety of someone else's dysfunctional organization. So I also want to plug that all of our curriculum is freely available, thanks again to Bloomberg Philanthropies, for reuse by the public and other universities. So overall, the initiative has supported 275 mayors and 269 cities across 35 countries. So we're really proud of the reach of this program and have so much that we've learned from being able to reach cities globally. Mostly that everyone has kind of similar problems, regardless of where you are, which is, as you know, Latricia, a humbling thing to learn and allows us to keep doing the work that we do.
Yeah, I wanted to say, I was going to say really quickly, I think for me, having been someone to sit in that space with mayors as they were going through kind of their the executive training where they come together in person and get to learn from Harvard faculty and others, I thought that was pretty profound for a number of reasons, right? One came from working with the private sector where I work for the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. I saw just what you were just talking about in terms of CEOs, executive level folks constantly getting professional development, constantly coming together to really have an opportunity to learn from each other, share ideas and thoughts. So to see that in a space with mayors, for me, that was just something new I had not seen before. Also, having worked at the local level and worked for organizations like National League of Cities, where, you know, folks came together to meet up and have some opportunities to connect and maybe get some broader, learning, but not in the way that Harvard delivered this program. So I just want to sit in that, how impactful and profound that is. And also the opportunity, again, to be working, connecting with others across the globe and learning that while we are in different spaces for these mayors, many of the issues that they're focusing on are very similar or have strong connections where they can learn from each other. And also recognize that I'm really not the only one dealing with this, or my city isn't the only city dealing with this. So I just think that's, you know, profound, and also is why a program like what Harvard is running through the Bloomberg Harvard City Leadership Initiative is making such an impact and a great opportunity for cities to participate. But I'm going to give you a chance now. So we talked about the program overall. Let's talk a little, and you may even want to mention the fact that there are other tracks in the program, but then we want to dig a bit deeper into the data track, which is where we really get to work together.
Yeah, thank you. And to kind of bring out what you were saying, the initiative itself has all these different arms that I mentioned, but our flagship program, which is what you're speaking to, is this really unique experience. Every year we bring 40 mayors from across the globe together in person in New York for a week. They then nominate two senior leaders from their cities. So 80 people then come in August. And that kind of kicks off a then 9 to 10 month engagement with us for the rest of the year, with us, with you, with a variety of wonderful partners. But you are speaking to that experience of being able to come to this beautifully built classroom in New York City and sit across, you know, a mayor from South Africa, sitting across from a mayor from Iowa or right next to, and talking through a variety of challenges. So we take them through a week of programming on public narrative, how to speak about their story and connect it to others. We talk about cross-boundary collaboration, innovation. We talk about mentorship, like how do you, what happens when you have what you think is a bad seed or someone who is underperforming or isn't getting along? What's your role as a mayor to really engage and empower your staff, your team, to be cohesive, to work under pressure, to work well together? So you're right. It's a really unique opportunity. And many mayors share with us that they feel like they're not alone. And that's the biggest gift, that in a role where they're the only one in their whole city who has this job, to find other people who have it as well feels wonderful and very helpful. So as part of their participation in what we call our flagship program, the Bloomberg Harvard City Leadership Initiative, mayors can elect to participate in 9-month capability building opportunities. And we have three of them. We have the data track, which is our wonderful program focused on working through a challenge using a performance management routine, having the amazing experts from GovX support you throughout. And we'll talk about that. We also offer the innovation track with amazing partners from the Bloomberg Center for Public Innovation, as well as the Center for Public Impact. And that program focuses on experimentation, prototyping, using your residents as subject matter experts, and really doing human-centered design thinking with and not for the community. And then our third track, which I am currently in New York facilitating, is the collaboration track, which focuses on bringing folks together from different sectors in the community to tackle a very large, high-level challenge, come together. They spend 7 weeks preparing, and then they come to New York. 8 people come from each team, and they make significant progress on an entry point, really deciding how do we have this really big, what feels like intractable problem. How do we enter it and make progress so that we can maintain our momentum, bring in more people? So that is our third track. And I'm excited to share a little bit more about the data track. I'll turn it back to you to see if there are specific questions or if you want me to just give an overview.
Yeah, I think giving an overview would be great. I will say, you and I have talked a lot about some of the things that also make the data track pretty unique, in that, or people hear data track and they may think we're just jumping right into data, but it goes back to some of that earlier conversation around collaboration, building strong teams, having to work through, you know, culture building within the team that's brought together on data track. So I'd love, as you're giving the overview of data track, to maybe pull out, and we can even have some conversation about it, pull out some of the things that make data track even unique in terms of how teams are working together with the city. Data is the root of it, but there's so many other things that have to happen to ensure that they can actually leverage data, build that performance routine that's bigger than just the data they're collecting.
Yeah, exactly. So I would say to describe that a little bit, we ask participants to nominate a problem. Our tracks have an application process. And you're right, I think so much happens during that process, this short application period, even before cities begin in the track, to really make sure that what they're selecting is a priority, that it reaches, if effective, would reach a large population. And then we also ask them to focus on equity. So we want equity to be at the forefront of what they're tackling. And then once selected into the program, we start with really doing a few things, a lot of diagnostics. So we really want to get to know the cities we're working with. We want to know, what is your current capacity to do this work? Also, what is the resistance in the city? So kind of a lot of more squishy things that we try to discover so that we can then get into the technical work, knowing all of the dynamics that may detract from the technical work or may have us going on tangents. So we do spend a lot of time, I think you and me and many other folks that we work with, really building and designing a program that is around people dynamics, but using data as kind of a special technique that can cut through that and push us forward. So to get more specific, the program uses data to set goals, monitor indicators, evaluate results, and identify opportunities to improve performance. So that is our kind of first objective, is to, many of these teams have worked with performance management in the past, have used data, but perhaps not as intentionally as they would have liked, or have developed a routine that they can sustain. A lot of the time, we see this work being really about habit formation. And there often are challenges in building a habit and maintaining it. And so our goal is, by providing this wraparound support in the data track, we have two levels of coaching. We provide one-on-one coaching to each mayor participating in the track. And that coach is familiar with working on improving a city's performance management routine. It's either a former mayor or a subject matter expert like myself. And we work directly with the mayors over time to make sure that they're plugging in and empowering and supporting their teams so that they can do the hard work of moving the project forward. Then we provide fantastic coaching on the team level, walking the team through a variety of activities, holding them in this container, all designed so that they feel some urgency, they have a structure, they're not wasting their time trying to spin their wheels on how to structure a project. You all at GovX do that wonderfully, and you do that for them. And so you walk them through this really methodical approach to inventorying information, et cetera, to really get them to a place where they can, by the end of the track, in the summertime, when the track ends, really launch a performance management process that they can sustain and apply to a different priority than the one selected. So we really focus on that. We want them to have at least one performance management meeting by the end of the track. The idea is it's a kind of a dress rehearsal. So they've selected a problem, let's say permitting. They've spent time actually working on understanding their team dynamics, understanding who might be resistant to working on permitting, really addressing the fact that maybe in the past, data related to this topic has been used in a punitive way. How can we shift beyond that and really think about all of us being, hey, we're all on the same team. We all want to make the permitting process faster. This isn't about one specific player or department in the process who is bringing us all down. We're really all doing this together. And a lot of the work that we do at the beginning of the track is about shifting the mindset from data being used as a finger pointing tool and a blame tool to data being used as a flashlight, uncovering challenges, and all of us being aligned on how to do the work so that we can move forward productively. And then lastly, I think we try to make sure that we're not doing data for data's sake, that we're really thinking about how does data make your city more effective, efficient, equitable, and accountable? And what are the leadership conditions that we need in order to make that possible? So we spend a lot of time with the mayors, making sure that they've incorporated data into their vision so that there's a greater awareness on the team that when things get tough, when the data has bias, quality issues, that we're not just going to drop it because we need to achieve what the mayor put in front of us. It's about incorporating the data to achieve that. So we always want to hold on to it, even when it gets difficult.
Yeah, thank you for giving that great overview. I think one thing that you said that is, in fact, a distinguishing factor in many ways in this program is this two-prong approach of you have a coach that has some great experience, you know, in many cases have been a former mayor or like yourself, really worked in a city and worked with leadership to make change, who's coaching and working with, or should I say advising, coaching our mayor in this program. And then you have folks who are dedicated to that team. And I just think it comes to, when done right, it comes together so nicely. And it makes me also reflect on just, I was at an event last fall where one of the mayors who participated in our program gave a testimonial as a part of a panel. And it hit me. I hit me as he talked about, you know, it wasn't even about this program, that panel. It was actually about equity and some other things. But he said, this program I participated in really helped me as a mayor understand my role as I am working with my teams to try to make change in my city. And he described when he first walked into the space for this program with his team, you know, what he felt. You don't think about imposter syndrome oftentimes when you think about a mayor because they've just run for a big role. But he literally described and used the words, I had a bit of imposter syndrome. I had never really worked deeply in data. He came from corporate, but he was in a role that I think it might have been marketing or something different. And that didn't require him. He used data, but it didn't require him to be the data person, so to speak, or drive that work. So he really felt like, what am I going to say? Is my team going to see that maybe I don't have as much knowledge on this topic? And then it takes away my credibility. But through coaching with his, and it was a former mayor that was coaching him, through coaching, he recognized, I don't need to be the expert. I have some really smart, capable, passionate people on my team. What my role is to really inspire that, keep the momentum, ask great questions. That helps my team to think more deeply and really be clear about what my vision is in this work and let them know that they are supported and whatever resources we need to bring to the table, we can bring where I need to get barriers out their way, I can do that. And I felt really good and proud because of the work we're doing, but also reflected on the fact that this program does have a sweet sauce that supports leaders, but also the leader of the city, but also the leaders at the table who are carrying that work forward every day to have the impact, to accelerate impact. And to your point, we don't just do data just for doing data. It really is about how we're going to hopefully transform lives, but through a performance routine, ultimately down the road, but especially to start making a difference for the residents who are in that city right now today. So thank you for sharing that overview for sure. As you think about, we probably touched on this, but as you think about any challenges that may come up or opportunities, I always hate to use challenges, but opportunities that come up in this work, maybe you can share one or two that, and these could be opportunities or challenges that we as the team supporting these cities might face, or even what we see our cities facing that it takes some time to get past, but we're able to work with them to get past.
Such a good question. And I loved your story. Let's see. I think sometimes when we want to use data well, our timeline for getting everything going is longer than what the mayors expect to see impact. And so they have a mandate to deliver on what they ran on within a certain period of time. And so they know they're only in office for 2-4 more years, might have an opportunity to run again, might not. And so there's always this tension between quality evaluation projects that really like get you to rigorous evidence to back up what you're doing and the urgency to do things because you have a limited amount of time left in office. I don't have a solution, but I think that what we try to do in our track is remind the mayors that with the anxiety they're feeling, they don't have to stew in it. There's things they can do and say to get the team to be more oriented towards the mayor's anxiety around how much time they have left in office. And we see this in other applications too, not just within the world of the data truck, but, you know, as a leader, like, how do you sit with that anxiety and translate it into something productive for your team, as opposed to putting them in a state of panic to try to deliver something to you that's subpar? So, you know, it's a reality across all fields of a leader wanting something on a certain timeline. But I do think it's unique in this environment because we're asking teams, I love this example of trying to do something different than what you've been doing. This exercise that we did this week of using your right hand to write your signature or your dominant hand, and then repeating the exercise with your non-dominant hand and thinking about what that feels like. It feels goofy. It feels wonky. It feels uncomfortable. And so I think our role a lot of the time is to remind both the mayor and the team that this discomfort, this anxiety is normal, and let's think of a productive way to address it.
Yeah. I mean, I think in many ways, again, not just in this work, that uncomfortability can sometimes lead to breakthroughs. And so if we can get folks to sit in that a little bit, it opens up opportunities to do really great work together. And I'm even reflecting on the fact that I have heard from cities around how this work has helped to support work that they're going to do beyond us being in that city and working with them. And so to me, that for us is such a value add and a win because we are opening up doors. I mean, we were with the city last week, you and I, where the mayor and the chief of police hadn't really connected. I mean, they met before, but they hadn't really connected in a deep way. And we were sitting there in that moment and watched where their relationship shifted from this very formal to, hey, we should spend more time together. I need to learn more about what you do. I want to. And so that to me was a win. We need to get that down somewhere, but that was a win. Did they do the work? Not yet, but this opened the door for them to start to collaborate and do the work, which we hope will, you know, when we're doing the showcase for this program at the end of the summer, we're going to see how that meeting helped to get them to this city to a place where they feel strong as though they can carry this work forward in a sustainable and meaningful way.
Right. I mean, I think when a mayor approaches anyone, especially a department head, and asks for data, we all have so many biases and insecurities tied up in the feelings we immediately get when someone says that to us. And so much of our work is to get them in a place of learning from each other so that when those requests come, it's not this kind of my hackles are up and I can't respond to you. I have to be formal. I can't be real. So I completely agree with you.
Yeah. Okay. I think I just have one more question, and it's going back to pulling in your expertise. You, again, were a former chief data officer, and you're now getting to work with cities across the globe to support their capacity to use data in better ways. What piece of advice for cities that, you know, we have a limited number of slots for this program, and while we're listening, we hope our listening audience who have not participated will, you know, follow up and find ways to get their city engaged. But we know that every city cannot do this program. So whether it's the mayor that's listening in, the city manager, a member of a data team within a city, or someone who just, you know, is working on a big issue or an issue in that city and understands that data is a powerful way to address and bring solutions to the table. What advice would you give them around thinking about their role and how they can support their city in building and growing that data capacity?
First, I would start small and pick a project that is maybe less political to really practice using data and asking questions of the data, analyzing the data, and coming up with solutions that are guided by some of the data you have. So, for example, I think a wonderful place to go often is the library for this type of kind of more joyful project learning. So I would encourage whomever is listening who's looking to dive more into performance management to approach your library friends and start looking. One of my favorite data sets is kind of what are the hot books that the library has. In LA, the library always had a list of what books are most requested by different genres. And go and just sit with some of those data sets and go around in a group, take off your hats of you're a director and you're an analyst and you're an assistant, and everyone just speak a little bit about what you're seeing in the data and see what that pulls out in people. And I think it's an effective exercise to ask three questions of the data and then put yourself in the shoes of a librarian. Would you increase the stock of this particular genre or this book, and practice doing that. And then always ask yourself at the end, what did I learn from this that I can bring back to my work? What made me uncomfortable? What felt very comfortable? And then you kind of know where you need to go in terms of building your data literacy skills. So I think that's a great exercise. Also, my career in city government, as I mentioned, that first Geo Hub training started in the library, so it feels very full circle.
The library. I was a library kid, so this makes me feel really good to hear you use that as the place for, I mean, we know it's a place of learning and discovery, but as the place where you can really build that data, start to think about how you build that data capacity. So thank you for that great example. The last thing we want to tell them around that piece is where one can go to learn more about the Bloomberg Harvard City Leadership Initiative.
Yes. So please visit cities.harvard.edu. And there you'll find all of the great programs that are centered at the Bloomberg Center for Cities, including the Bloomberg Harvard City Leadership Initiative.
Thank you so much, Sari. Thank you for being a part of this. It's always a joy to spend time chatting with you and learning from you. And this was a great space to do that. Thank you to our audience for joining us today. If you'd like to learn more about the Bloomberg Center for Government Excellence, you can find us at govx.jhu.edu. Please make sure you're subscribed on our podcast app of choice. And thanks for listening.